Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant, that's blogtalkradio.com/pgant, and you can follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGant. You can also send messages there at GoForItGant. Make sure you send some messages there. Make sure you talk to me on Twitter. And oh, by the way, make sure you follow me on Twitter at GoForItGant. Got a big show lined up for you today. Football is in the air. You can smell it, and all it smells oh so good. And we're going to be joined by the great Willie Rowe. He's going to stop on by. We're going to get Willie's take on what happened Thursday night in Green Bay. Willie was actually at Saints camp a few weeks back, so we're going to get his thoughts there. Also, we're going to get Willie's Super Bowl prediction. Who does Willie Rowe believe will be in the Super Bowl, and who will win the Super Bowl? Last year, he picked the Saints. No surprise there. We'll see who he picks this year. We're also going to be joined by Green Bay Packers defensive end Jarius Wynn, and Jerry is coming off a big victory for the Green Bay Packers. It's been a great year for Jarius Wynn, and we look forward to talking to him. And also, New York Knicks guard Tony Douglas will stop on by. He's going to talk about his foundation, the Douglas Brothers Foundation. And he's also going to talk about his season. He had a shoulder surgery, so we're going to see how that's progressing. But Tony, his brother Harry, plays for the Atlanta Falcons, and so I mean, we're going to talk a little football as well with Tony Douglas. And last, we're going to be joined by Basketball Wives LA star Tanya Williams, the wife now of Jason Williams, still the wife, but they're working on a divorce. But we're going to talk to Tanya, get her thoughts on the show, Basketball Wives LA, and get her thoughts on being married to Jason Williams. And she's doing a lot of other things as well. Got a great show for you lined up, so make sure you listen. Make sure you stick around. You will be entertained, very much so. You will be entertained. Enough of that. Let's get to what we saw Thursday night in Green Bay. First of all, we saw a very good football game. I mean, a back-and-forth type of football game. The Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, came out firing. He was on fire there to start that football game, and the Green Bay Packers got out to an early lead, 14-0, and it was a track meet from there, going back and forth. Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints going up and down the field. Aaron Rodgers going up and down the field as well. Hey, who needs off-season workouts? I mean, the Green Bay Packers didn't get together, and some people made a big deal about that. And the New Orleans Saints was one of the teams that did get together and had very organized workouts led by Drew Brees. But you look at the New Orleans Saints, and you got to be concerned about that defense. I mean, the secondary didn't look well at all. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a field day, and the same goes for the Packers' defense as well. I mean, you look at Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees went up and down the field as well. But I think the Green Bay Packers' defense will get it together a lot quicker, and I think they'll be a better defense than New Orleans' defense. I mean, there were some holes there. The secondary, it didn't look good. It did not look good. The secondary was lit up by Aaron Rodgers and those boys. And they went up and down the field on the New Orleans Saints. And it was a great football game. It was a great, great football game. And you look at it, these two teams were the Super Bowl champions the last 2 years. So you knew you would get a good football game here and a very good football game. And that's what you got, You got a very good football game here, a great football game. One thing, you look at the New Orleans Saints, and you're thinking maybe this team is going to have to outscore people throughout this season. And they can do it. I mean, Darren Sproles, the replacement for Reggie Bush, he was a problem this other night. I mean, he played well. He was electric. He had the punt return, of course, and he, every time he touches the ball, you always think he can take it to the house. He's a home run hitting type of player. He's a big play type of player. He had caught 7 passes for 75 yards, and of course, he had that punt return. So he did work for the New Orleans Saints the other night. But if you look at the Saints and you look at that ball club, will they have to outscore people? I mean, this is a defense that struggled last year, struggled in that playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks, a team that dropped 40-plus points on them in that playoff game. This defense struggled. It definitely struggled, and a lot of people had the New Orleans Saints going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. So you look at Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees is going to have a Drew Brees type of year. He's going to put up big-time numbers for the New Orleans Saints. The question becomes, for the New Orleans Saints, is can they stop somebody? Can they stop you? Can they stop anybody? And so far, they have proven to this point that they cannot stop anybody, at least the first game of the season. And it's only the first game of the season. A lot of times you have defenses that struggle the first couple weeks, and then they get it together. You have teams who struggle first couple weeks, and then they get it together. One thing about the NFL, I said it before many times on this show, it is a week-to-week type of league. So 1 week you think the Green Bay Packers are the best team in football. The next week you might think they're the worst. It's just that type of league. It's week to week. You don't know from time to time what team you'll see in any from any team. You don't know. You just don't know. It is a week-to-week league. Right now, we're viewing the New Orleans Saints defense as a little leaky right now. And you can, I guess, say the same thing about the Packers defense, but history would tell you with the Green Bay Packers defense last season, I mean, they were a pretty good defense. They were a pretty good defense last season. So history tells you that they'll get it right. New Orleans, there's some questions there. There's definitely some questions there with that secondary. A lot of questions there. There's some questions there. But, again, it's only the first week of the season, so it's not – I don't think you panic, but you try to correct some things if you're the New Orleans Saints. And if you are even the Green Bay Packers, you try to correct some things. I mean, the New Orleans Saints did have close to 500 yards in total offense. 477 to be exact. So they moved the ball pretty well against the Green Bay Packers. And you knew this was going to be a pretty good football game, and it was a great football game. It came down to the end, and that last play, a lot of people are debating, didn't like the call, didn't like who got the ball. Some people believe Pierre Thomas should have got the ball in that situation. Some people believe he should have been play pass in that situation. And you look at it, the New Orleans Saints, similar situation earlier in that game where instead of going with the run on a fourth and short, they went with a play pass and it got blown up. This time around, down at the 1 yard line, they go with a handoff and they go with Mark Ingram instead of Pierre Thomas. They go with the rookie. Green Bay did a great job of stopping them, and the Green Bay Packers win the football game. I thought in that situation, obviously, is it the right play call? Looking at it, obviously it wasn't, because the reality is it didn't work. But in terms of was it the right call, I thought play pass in that situation should have been the call. And I think that gives you more of an opportunity there in that situation. But give the Packers a lot of credit down there, backs against the wall. They did, and they protected their goal line the way they're supposed to. They bent, but when it came to breaking, they didn't break, and they did what they had to do, and ultimately they will win the football game. But again, a great way to start off this NFL season. A great, 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 great way to start off this NFL season. I mean, this was a great way to start it off. And you had the whole offseason with the lockout and everything. But all that stuff, that's behind us now. That is behind us. That's behind all of us now. That's behind us. And now it's time to go and look at and watch football and talk about football and all things football. And if you're talking about all things football, you got to talk about the whole situation with Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning had neck surgery again, another surgery, the third surgery on his neck in the last 19 months. And he's going to be out there talking at least 2 to 3 months. 2 to 3 months. Peyton Manning will be out. That, my friend, tells me that the Indianapolis Colts season is a lost season at this point. It's a lost season. Kerry Collins will be the starter, and this is the same Kerry Collins who retired a few weeks back, and then he came on back to the Indianapolis Colts. But you look at the Indianapolis Colts, they were a team last season that lost a lot of guys to injuries. Austin Collie, Joseph Addai, they lost a lot of guys. Dallas Clark, they lost a lot of guys to injuries. But the one constant was Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning, what he did was he was the guy that kept that whole thing together and was the guy and was the reason that the Colts won 10 games last season. He was the reason. He was the reason that the Colts won 10 games last season. Without Peyton Manning, the Indianapolis Colts don't win 10 games. They don't do it. They don't do it. So you take away Peyton Manning now, and you look at it, and with Peyton Manning out of the picture, and if it's 2 to 3 months, the best scenario could be he's back in December. But then you ask yourself, do you risk bringing him back? Do you risk bringing him back in that situation? I mean, you look at it, who knows where the Colts will be at then? I guess if the Colts are in a position to make the playoffs, you think about bringing him back. But if the Colts are out of it and have no shot whatsoever, maybe you sit this guy down. This could be, you think about it, and this is kind of going out there, but this could be a blessing in disguise because you look at it, there could be an opportunity. You got Luck there at Stanford who could be the guy, could be a franchise type of quarterback. And let's just say you go through the season, you struggle mightily, you have a bad season in Indianapolis, and you mess up, you luck up, and you get Andrew Luck, possibly. I mean, you mess around, and you get a bad pick, you have a bad record, you get a great pick. And who knows? Maybe you put yourself in the opportunity in the sweepstakes for Andrew Luck. Maybe you give yourself an opportunity to get an Andrew Luck. Maybe. I mean, maybe. Who knows? Then you have that guy, that heir apparent to Peyton Manning, because at this point, he ain't there. Curtis Painter ain't it. Kerry Collins, obviously, ain't it. So they you look at the Colts, and you're saying this could be a blessing in disguise, and who knows? Who knows? If Peyton Manning doesn't come back this season, maybe the Colts think to join up, and they get the number one pick. If you remember the San Antonio Spurs going, I'm switching sports now, but if you remember the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA, you remember David Robinson missed a bunch of time for them that one season. I believe it was 97, I believe. He missed a whole bunch of time, and the San Antonio Spurs stunk. And they were in the lottery, and they got the number one pick, and the number one pick became Tim Duncan, and ultimately Tim Duncan and David Robinson teamed together to win championships for the San Antonio Spurs. So it was essentially, in a lot of ways, a blessing in disguise for the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, you look at it, you set up your franchise for the next decade by getting a guy like Tim Duncan. Could this be the same situation with the Indianapolis Colts? Could it be the same situation here with Peyton Manning out, and maybe this team struggles big time, and then maybe they luck up and get Andrew Luck out of Stanford. Maybe. Maybe it happens. Maybe it happens for this ball club. Maybe they get lucky. But we'll see. I mean, this team was built, the offense was built around Peyton Manning. So what happens now? Jim Caldwell is going to have to coach his butt off this season. He's going to have to coach his butt off. And that defense is going to have to play a lot better. And when you think of the Colts, you don't really think of defense. You think of Peyton Manning. The defense is going to have to play a whole lot better if the Colts want to have a shot at winning anything during this season. but the Colts will struggle this year. Let's mark it down. The Colts will struggle. Without Peyton Manning, the Colts will struggle. He is the straw that stirs that drink. And without that straw, the drink ain't being stirred. It just will not be stirred by Kerry Collins and whoever else, Curtis Painter, whoever else they can put in. I mean, David Garrard is out there. I don't know if that's an option for the Indianapolis Colts. He's out there. He's out there, and he was a surprise cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you look at it, it's kind of ironic. He got the job the same way he lost it. He got the job in 2007, Leftwich was cut before the season. They handed the keys to the franchise to David Garrard. Same way this time, 4 years later, 2011, David Garrard was the starter. Few days before the opener, David Garrard was sent packing by the Jaguars. Luke McCown will be the starter. It's kind of ironic. It's kind of ironic, but it is what it is. It is what it is. But you look at it and you say to yourself, wow. I mean, it was a shocker. I saw that come over and I read that, David Garrard, and I was like, wow, he's cut? And we're talking a week before the season. We're talking a week before the season. He's cut. And they introduced him to the Jaguars, to the Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce. They introduced him as the starter, and then all of a sudden, a few days, a few hours later, he's cut. He's in the streets. He's cut. And so you look at it, David Garrard could be an option for the Indianapolis Colts. He could be an option for a lot of teams, could be an option for the San Francisco 49ers, could be an option in Washington, could be an option in a few places. He definitely could be an option. But it's surprising. It's definitely a surprise move by the Jacksonville Jaguars. But if you look at this franchise, they have done it before. They have done it this way before, and they did it with Leftwich. They let Leftwich go a few weeks, I believe it was a couple weeks before the season, and David Garrard was named the starter. So it's an interesting situation. It's an interesting situation. But you look at it. It's a situation now that David Garrard is no longer a starter in Jacksonville, no longer in Jacksonville. And he's on the streets. And there's, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll definitely see what happens, but you look at it. We'll see what Luke McCown brings to the table. Apparently, he's been having a pretty good preseason and has shown some things to the Jacksonville ball club. But you look at it, this is a surprise, a shocker. This is a shocker. David Garrard gone. And now Luke McCown is the starting quarterback in Jacksonville. So we'll see what happens and how that situation plays out. David Garrard definitely will find a team. He definitely will find a team. It's just a matter of what team. But he'll find somebody. Somebody will find this guy, and somebody will bring him in. We'll see who the team is. I mean, again, San Francisco. You look at them, I mean, they could use a quarterback, and Alex Smith is not. Alex Smith is Alex Smith. Let's put it that way. Miami also, they're not all ultra happy with Chad Henne. That's a place. Oakland is a possibility as well. Even Cincinnati, look at Cincinnati in their uncertain situation at quarterback. But David Garrard, I mean, you figure he will find a job. Again, it's just a matter of what job and where. But he will on his feet at some point. But we're looking at it now, and the season is here. The season is here. And it's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. The season is here, everybody. And you look at it, and a lot of talk in the offseason, Philadelphia Eagles, Dream Team, bring in a whole bunch of players, a whole bunch of quality players, and you look at that and you're saying dream team equals championship. We'll see about that moving forward. But let's bring in now the great Willie Roque. Willie, how are you?
How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Willie, we talked about that same.
I'm headed over to Vegas. My cousin's getting married.
Oh, okay, all right. Sounds like good times.
Yeah.
Willie, we talked about the game Thursday. Saints, Packers. You were with the Saints when they were in California there in Oxnard. You were with them. You saw them. Are you surprised at what you saw defensively?
Well, I knew they struggled some in the preseason. I remember Houston had a good game running against them, and I thought Green Bay would maybe run the ball a little more effectively against them. But, you know, it's just ironic they had a chance to win that game. Like you said, they got to better do a job defensively, because when they really start playing division games, they're going to have more teams running the ball a lot more and trying to control the clock instead of passing the ball like Green Bay did.
Definitely. And you look at it, Willie, I mean, do you think it's going to be a situation where Drew Brees and the Saints offense is going to have to outscore people?
I think proof of that game shows you that Drew Brees, not a Peyton Manning, is the most important quarterback to his team in the league. I mean, if Drew Brees is not in that game, they have no way of being close. I mean, the guy goes up, throws 400 some yards, and no turnovers, and three touchdowns. I mean, you kidding me? If I'm Drew Brees, and I know this the way it is, I mean, I'm trying to get paid as much as Peyton and the other guys because he's that valuable to that team.
Right. And Willie, we look at this season now. I mean, going into the season, a lot of uncertainty with the lockout and the strike-shortened off season. You look at it now, man. I mean, I'm having a hard time figuring out who will be in the Super Bowl come February. You have any ideas at this point?
You know, with the lockout and everything, like you said, it's a little tough to call. I would say it would be a team that if they haven't won the Super Bowl, they're right on the brink. A lot of people are predicting Green Bay to repeat. A lot of people are jumping on the Dirty Birds bandwagon. I think it's going to be a team with experience. I wouldn't be surprised, like, if it's Green Bay, the Steelers, one of those teams that's already been there that has some experience.
Right. And you look at the Packers, I mean, could they be a better team? I mean, is it safe to say that they are a better team? Now, I mean, look at them. Jermichael Finley is back. He looked great on Thursday. Ryan Grant is back as well. I mean, they lost a lot of players to injury, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at that team on Thursday, this might be a better team than last year.
Well, defensively, they didn't look like a better team. Well, defensively against the run, they look like a better team. I mean, I understand it's the Saints, but they got exposed in the passing game. So, I mean, you know, it's a pass-heavy league now, but you gotta stop. You can't let a team pass the ball up and down the field and come back. I mean, right. I understand that the Spurs gave them some great field position late in the game. They gave them the ball on the plus side of the ball, the 40-50, but, you know, that pass defense has got to be better than what it was against the Saints.
And you look at that game with the Packers. I mean, I look at them defensively. You see the talent is there. Do you think it was a byproduct of just one of those games, one of those shootout type of games? And that could go for both defenses. Do you think it was just a byproduct of that, or are these defenses, are they vulnerable?
I think in Green Bay's favor, it was more of a byproduct of that. I think in the Saints, this preseason, they've had a hard time stopping teams. I mean, even when they went to Oakland, I watched that game in the preseason. You know, that first half, Oakland was going up and down the field on them. So, I mean, they just haven't done a good job stopping the run. It's just preseason, and it, you know, carried over into their game. And then what I was surprised about was how good, you know, Evans and those guys are playing. I know Nix has been banged up, but on third down, I mean, they cannot convert a first down on the short yards. I mean, and that was the last play of the game. They tried to run the ball and still couldn't get a first down.
And Willie, a lot of people doing a lot of talking about certain teams that could surprise. You're talking Lions. Here's some Lions talk. I'm hearing some Rams talk out there. Hearing some Cleveland Browns talk out there. Do you have a team out there that you think will surprise some people?
You know, I can't go with the Lions because everybody's talking about the Lions. I think the Rams will be pretty good if the quarterback can stay healthy. And, you know, like you said, I think the Rams and I would say Cleveland is a team that can make some noise. Like I said, if they can move the ball offensively, I think defensively Cleveland will be a pretty good team. Just whether they'll be able to move the ball offensively, we'll see how good they'll be.
And we're talking to Willie Rose.
I do like Detroit a lot.
You like Detroit? My
only
concern with Detroit, I like him on paper, but I have some concerns about Stafford. I mean, the guy, he's shown some ability, but he has shown the ability also to get hurt a lot. And if he's going to miss time, they're going to be in trouble.
They will be in trouble if he misses time. And like you said, it's going to be interesting to see because with all acquisitions and not that much camp, it's going to be whoever can tell and come together the best as the season goes on. And I mean, it's anybody's season this year to make a run at it.
And Willie, we're talking about the teams that may surprise. Who are those teams that you think might take that step back? I mean, the one team I'm pinpointing is the Giants. I mean, they lost Terrell Thomas to injury. They lost their middle linebacker, Goff, to injury. O.C. Umenyiora is going to be out for a few weeks, and we don't know what kind of player O.C. Umenyiora is going to be this year, especially with that contract situation. They lost Kevin Balls. They lost Steve Smith. I look at that team. They were 10-6 last year. I think that's a team that's going to take a step back. Is there a team you think will take that step back?
It's going to be interesting to see what the Patriots do. I mean, we're picking up Haynesworth and Chad and all those guys they picked up. Is it going to be a situation where things could work out and go smoothly, or it could be a situation where things go sour?
Right. And you're right. I mean, it could go sour. I mean, with Haynesworth and Ocho Cinco, those type of guys, they can easily go sour. They can easily play very well and be Pro Bowlers. I mean, it's just the luck of the – not a luck of the draw, but it's a chance you kind of take.
Ocho Cinco's having a rough time with the system as it is, you know. So, but I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say, you know, I'm thinking this year might be the Jets' year to go ahead and get over the hump.
See, here's what I mean, I don't like their quarterback situation. I mean, Mark Sanchez is a guy.
In the AFC Championship, Jets versus Chargers.
So you like Jets Chargers in the AFC Championship game, and you like the Jets to break through?
Well, I don't know. It's going to be, like you said, Philip Rivers. I have to give Philip Rivers the edge on that quarterback battle. But I think the Chargers are very big. You want to say sleeper team under the radar, the Chargers are way under the radar right now.
And you look at it, I mean, yes, the Jets, I look at the Jets, I want to go back to the Jets, I mean, they're a team defensively that have been a Super Bowl team defensively. But you look at them, I think the only question mark and the biggest question mark is the quarterback play. And I'm not sold on Mark Sanchez. I know a lot of people are really high on the guy, but I'm just not sold yet.
If they can get home field and they don't have to go to Pittsburgh to play in the AFC Championship and they can run the ball, I think Mark plays a lot better at home than he's gonna play at Pittsburgh or one of these teams on the Ravens on the road or if he plays on that turf. So I think if they get a good enough record to get a home game, I think that's whoever gets home field is gonna be a better chance for Mark that job. Or if the Chargers can get home field and play good this year if they had to go to San Diego. I think they'll get it back to San Diego. But the Jets did beat the Chargers at home, and they did beat the New England Patriots. So, I mean, sometimes that just played pretty good. I just think he just had a real bad game when he went up there and played against the Steelers.
Okay. I mean, it. You look at those last 2 years, I mean, he struggled against the Steelers, like you said, especially in that first half, did a lot better in that second half. And he played okay against the Colts, but when it was time to make the plays, he just could not make the plays. But he was a rookie then. Last year he was a second-year guy. He's going into his third year. And this third year, this is the year where he should make that leap. Real quickly now, Willie, I know you got to get going. In the NFC, who do you like coming out of the NFC? A lot of talk of Falcons. Of course, the Eagles with the Dream Team talk. Who do you like coming out the NFC?
with the Dream Team. I think the Dream Team is going to get better as the year goes on, and I think the Eagles are going to be tough to beat come late in the season. So if Michael Vick can stay healthy and not get banged up, I'm gonna say, you know, the Eagles are gonna make a run, and you know they're gonna put a string of wins together, and I think it's gonna be tough to beat them in the playoffs. So I'm gonna go with the Eagles.
And real quickly, who do you have as a Super Bowl champion?
I can't say. I'm gonna go with the Jets.
All right, you like the New York Jets, and so okay, you got the Jets winning the Super Bowl. Willie,
it's early. I mean, it's real early. So I'll go with the Jets.
Willie, we thank you for taking time out for us, man, and have fun in Vegas, and we're going to bring you back on throughout this NFL season, man. So have fun, and let's talk again.
All right, dude.
Willie Rofe, the great Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler Willie Rofe. And we're now going to bring him defensive end for the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Jarius Wynn. Jarius, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. And you got to be doing very good after that victory against the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, yeah, man. It was great. It's a great feeling. Feel good. Just get the pat.
And Jarius, who needs team organized workouts? Who needs that?
Yeah, man, it was. I wouldn't say that, but I think all I can say is for myself, I worked hard during the off season, and you know, I put in a good amount of work, and you know, I felt good about it. So, and it's definitely paying off for me. So. You're right. Who need it?
And Jarius, I mean, I look at that game. It was a back-and-forth type of game. Lots of points scored. I mean, how fun was that game for you to play in?
Oh, man, it was definitely fun. Like I said, I worked hard during this offseason. Like I said, it's paying off for me. And it felt good getting out there, you know, hard work pays off. And now that, you know, we out there, I've been out there working hard. It just felt good to be there, man, and making out there, making plays and stuff. So hopefully I can continue to do stuff like that.
And, Jarius, like we said, a lot of big plays in that game. None bigger than that final play. Take us through that final play where you stopped the Saints there at the one-yard line.
Oh, man. And we just fucked it up, man. All of us was tired, and we just fucked it up and played Green Bay defense. And that's how the Green Bay defense is supposed to be played.
And do you take those type of situations personally? I mean, it's man-to-man, 1 yard, separating the end zone. Do you take that stuff very personally?
Yeah, I definitely take it personally, you know, like I say, it's always a challenge to be out there, and you know, you always want to be the best, and you know how men are anyway. You know, they want to be better than each other, so you know that kind of stood out to show them that you know we wasn't here to play around, and you know we was trying to defend. We defended our turf.
Right.
So it definitely felt good getting that win.
We're talking to Jarius Wynn, defensive end for the Green Bay Packers, and Jarius earlier in that game, 4th and 1. And you had the situation there where the Saints passed the ball. Did you think that they possibly would do play action on that final play, or in your mind, did you feel like they were going to run that ball?
I was definitely expecting to run, but especially on 3rd and 1, I thought it was going to run and try to get the first down. You know, it would have been, I wouldn't say an easy first down, but you know, it would have been better if they had probably tried to run it. But he actually tried to pass it, and the running back tried to cut me, and I didn't let it happen. And, you know, we just had Breeze on the run, and that's how it happened.
Right, and that was a very big part of that football game, and a big play. Big play in that football game. And you look at that game, and one thing I was – Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he came out on fire. I mean, he was balling. I mean, were you watching him in amazement?
Oh, man, he does the same thing in practice, so I know it still amazed me that he goes out and performs to the high level that he does. And he's just great, man. He got a great receiver core around him, and also, got Jermichael Finley back, and that's another threat. So it was just good to see those guys doing great, especially seeing Jermichael come back from the injury. He's looking great out there, man.
And is it possible, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that the Green Bay Packers are a better football team? You talked about Jermichael Finley. He looked like a beast. And you got Ryan Grant back. I mean, is this team better?
I feel like it is, man. Like I said, Jermichael. And then, you got Ryan Grant also coming back. I feel like, we got a lot of weapons at every position. And then we got a great offensive lineman. They work together. I feel like it is. Feel like we are a threat to a certain extent.
And another threat that came out was Randall Cobb. I mean, two touchdowns in that game and that ridiculous 108-yard kickoff return. I mean, did you expect that out of Randall? I mean, you practice with the guy. Did you see that type of big playability?
Man, you know what? To be honest, I played against this guy in college. He played quarterback in Kentucky. And I knew he was good at running around and throwing the ball, but it's a big difference. And now that you get the opportunity to be the kickoff returns and the punt returns, man, he looks great out there, man. And I wasn't expecting nothing like that, but it was totally shocking, man. I was just like, wow, it left me with my mouth dropped.
We're talking to Jarius Wynn, defensive end for the Green Bay Packers. And, Jarius, I mean, we're talking about all the good, but there was some bad here. You guys did get the victory, but the Saints did rack up close to 500 yards in offense, 477 to be exact. How much of that is a concern for the defense?
It's the first game. I got to say it is the first game, But we always, correct our mistakes. And then you got a Hall of Fame in the making, Drew Brees. He's out there. Been doing it for a long time out there making plays, so I got to give credit to credit. And he did great, but we're correcting mistakes, and I feel like our defense is going to be great.
So you feel like going into the season, I mean, throughout these next few games, the defense will go back to playing Packers type defense, the defense they played last season.
Exactly.
And Jerry, speaking of last season, it's kind of an interesting year for you personally. I mean, you were released by the Packers before the start of the season, then re-signed 10 days later. When that happened, when you were released, did you feel like you were done with the Packers and there was no shot of you going back to the Packers?
I never knew. I asked God to reveal it to me and, just let me get back to playing football. It was a tough little situation that went down, but, it worked out for the best. And I didn't know where it was going to go from there, but it worked out. It worked out the best, man. And I'm back here.
It definitely did work out the best for you. You look at it.
It did. Yeah, it did.
February 6th, man, that's a special day for you. Not only did you win a Super Bowl that day, but your son, Jarius Jr., was born as well. I mean, talk about that day. I mean, that had to be a crazy day for you.
Yeah, that whole day was crazy. It started at night. My wife went into labor, and she sat right beside me. She went into labor, and, she's supposed to be at the Super Bowl, but, she said she had to be at that game. And so we didn't expect him to come that soon, but he did, and he came on a special day, and it was very a privilege, witness to both greatness, my son being born and of guys winning the Super Bowl. So it was great, man.
And what was it like to play in the Super Bowl?
I was really just overwhelmed with everything, but, it was great, man. We're chasing that dream again this year. But I can't even describe the moment of it. it was just so much going on, but you know, it was great.
And on that day, I was reading you only got like 90 minutes of sleep or something like that. Was there ever any thought of sitting out of that game? Did that run through your mind?
I really didn't know what was going to happen at that point since I was at the hospital the whole night. But, you know, I just dealt with everything, how it came to me. And like I said, it worked out so well, man, that, you know, Coach McCarthy and the Capers, they had the faith in me that I can come out and still perform, you know, after being
right.
at the hospital the whole night. So it worked out well, man.
And where's that ring at? You got that ring in a safe place?
Yeah, I definitely got to put up. Had to put that up, and gotta put it up, and you know, ready to chase this next one. You know, that's behind us now, and we're on a mission to get back to that point.
And like you said, I mean, winning a Super Bowl is hard enough, but you guys are now trying to repeat. That's going to be even harder.
That's true. Everybody want to beat the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, we got to stay humble and, you know, stick to what we know, play, be ourselves, and play like we've been playing. And I feel like it'll work out well for us.
And we talked about 2011 being a great year for you. You had the baby. You won the Super Bowl. I mean, that's just winning. That's winning, and that's winning with a Y. And you got some T-shirts coming out talking about that.
Yeah, it is. I got some T-shirts coming soon. My guy Alex, man, he really been looking out for me, you know, taking care of me since I've been back to Green Bay. And got those T-shirts coming out soon, so I think, you know, you guys should go pick up some. But we'll keep you updated. And everyone should follow me on Twitter,
SlickWin94. And what do you think the T-shirts will be out by? When are you
envisioning
the T-shirt coming out?
I feel like they'll be out the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
We're in the process of coming up with some designs and stuff right now. But everyone
right.
should pick
all
up
right.
a winning T-shirt.
With a Y. With a Y.
With a Y.
Jarius, we wish you nothing but the best of luck in this season, man. Appreciate you stopping by. Continue to win with the Y, and, you know, nothing but success to you. And let's do this again.
Oh, man, I appreciate it.
Take care.
Yes, sir.
Jarius Wynn, defensive end, Green Bay Packers, and he's winning right now, winning with that Y. And give him a lot of credit and give the Green Bay Packers a lot of credit. And I agree with him in terms of the defense. I think that defense will be much better, and Willie and I talked about it there. I think that defense will be better. I mean, I think that was a byproduct of playing against a great guy, a great player like Drew Brees, and just getting caught up in one of those up-and-down type of football games. Your defense goes through that. I mean, even the best defenses have those games where it becomes just a track meet, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and that's what we saw Thursday night. Drew Brees going up and down the field, again, 419 yards passing, close to 500 yards in total offense for the New Orleans Saints. And you also look at it, I mean, New Orleans Saints were down early, down 14-0, and down throughout that football game. So you knew they were going to have to pass the ball a lot in that game if they wanted to win. And a lot of times when you pass the ball a lot, you're going to get a lot of yardage. And that's what we may have saw here. But I think the Green Bay Packers will be a better defense, obviously, than what we saw on Thursday, and I'm thinking to myself, this actually could be a better football team. And you look at them, I mean, it looked like they didn't miss a beat. They did not miss a beat at all. At all. They didn't miss a beat. Offensively, they seem better. Like I said, JerMichael Finley's back. Like I said, Ryan Grant is back. They seem like a better team, at least offensively. They seem like a much better football team. We'll see what happens moving forward, but this Green Bay Packers team seems very, very formidable. And don't forget about them, because I think a lot of times we talk dream team talk with the Eagles. We talk the Atlanta Falcons with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Ray Edwards coming in there. and we're saying now that the Atlanta Falcons are going to be that team to kind of take that next step, if you will. I mean, they had the best record in the NFC last year, 13-3. So they did their thing, but they got blown out, and the Green Bay Packers went up and down the field on those boys in the playoffs. But you look at it, man, and you look at this whole situation with the Eagles and with the Falcons. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, Willie Rofe has them going to the Super Bowl. But the Philadelphia Eagles, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they are a team in my mind with Vic and with all the guys that they brought in, Jenkins, Nnamdi, Rodgers, Cromartie, Babin. They have shored up all the deficiencies for the most part. I mean, the linebackers, there's some questions there, and legitimate questions there in terms of the linebackers. But you look at the offensive line now, I mean, you got some questions there. I mean, they're going to have four different starters, and their offensive line is going to look totally different than it looked in the preseason. I mean, now Jason Kelce is going to be starting at center. He was the starting center during the preseason, so he will be the starting center going in to the regular season. But Danny Watkins, a guy that they counted on as being the rookie, they counted on him as being a starter at the right guard position. He will not be the starter. Kyle Devin, a guy they brought in from the Colts, he will be a starter at the right guard position. The left guard position is going to look different. Evan Mathis, a guy, again, a free agent, a guy who's spent 7 years in the league, but a guy who, I mean, he's a free agent. You didn't know a lot about this guy, but he will be the left guard. And you look at it now, you look at it in terms of what's going on now, Pat Harriman's goes from left guard to right tackle, and then Jason Peters keeps his position at the left tackle position. But that right tackle position is going to be big. Michael Vick is a lefty, so his blind side is going to be protected by Todd Harriman's. Let's see how well Todd Harriman does at the right tackle position. I think he will do well. But that's my question mark with the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a big question mark because they struggled. That offensive line struggled big time last season. That was not a championship-caliber offensive line in Philadelphia. But hopefully that offensive line can gel if you're an Eagles fan. And if it does, with all those weapons, Macklin, Jackson, McCoy, Selleck, Steve Smith, Avant, with all those weapons, that team should score a lot of points. And defensively, they should be a lot better. Like as I said this a few weeks back, when it came to the Eagles, if you got into the red zone, you got a touchdown. That's the way it was with the Eagles. They were bad in the red zone last season. Not a good team in the red zone last season. But you look at it, they have improved. They have improved. Cromartie, Rodgers, Cromartie, Nnamdi, Colin Jenkins, Jason Babin, they have improved on paper. But we'll see what happens going into this regular season. And I look at their game tomorrow against the St. Louis Rams. That's going to be an interesting one. And the Rams are a team that I think, and I know a lot of people are talking Detroit Lions, but the Rams are a team I think that may surprise some folks. And, you know, everybody in the NFC West, you're talking Arizona Cardinals bringing in a Kevin Cobb. You're figuring that Kevin Cobb will be the guy that will help this ball club, because one thing the Cardinals did not have was a quarterback last season. I mean, Derek Anderson stunk to join up. He was not and is not at this point a starting quarterback in this league. And Kevin Cobb, 3-4 as a starter, 11 touchdowns, 14 interceptions in his career. We don't know what we have here, but we're assuming that Kevin Cobb, he has shown ability, but we're assuming that Kevin Cobb will be able to be a legitimate starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. I have my doubts, but at the same time, I have to be honest with you, the reality is, who really knows? Who really knows? But I do have my doubts. I do. But we'll see what happens with the Arizona Cardinals. But I think the St. Louis Rams, Steve Spagnuolo, doing a good job there in St. Louis. And I think Sam Bradford teamed up now with Josh McDaniels as his offensive coordinator. I think the St. Louis Rams are that team that's going to be that team may surprise some folks. I think they'll win the NFC West. I think they'll win the NFC West. And Bradford, I think, is going to take that next step. You have Steven Jackson, 1,200-yard back. You bring in a Quentin Michael in the offseason. Got Chris Long there on the defensive front. Laronitis there as a linebacker. So you have some pieces there on the defense. And I think Steve Spagnuolo, he did a great job in New York as a defensive coordinator. He did a great job in Philly as well during his time in Philly. I think he'll have that defense playing very well. And I think that defense will improve. And I think the St. Louis Rams will win the NFC West. 49ers, I think, will struggle. The Seahawks will struggle. I'm not sure Tavares Jackson is the answer at quarterback. I think they take a step down there. And I like St. Louis Rams to win that division. Looking at the NFCs now and switching gears to the NFCs, you look at it, I like Philadelphia to win that division. I think talent-wise, they're the most talented team in that division on paper, of course. And I look at it, and I said to Willie, I think the Giants or that football team is going to take that step back. 10-6 last season, and a team that I felt if they could have made it to the playoffs, could have made some noise in the playoffs. But I look at them now, and I got my concerns, and my concerns start with a lot of guys that they have lost. I mean, you look at it, Steve Smith, he's gone, and they didn't expect Steve Smith to play at least until October. But if you look at it, Steve Smith is probable right now for the Philadelphia Eagles, so he may even play this Sunday. So if you look at it, Steve Smith could have been on the field this week for the New York Giants. But you look at it, Kevin Boss is gone. That's a big time. They're going to miss him. They're going to miss Kevin Boss. They're going to miss him. Eli really relied on Kevin Boss a lot defensively. You look at it, Humanura, he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks, maybe longer. And again, we don't know what he's going to be, considering his situation with the contract. Justin Tuck, he may miss game one against the Redskins. He has a neck issue. You look at it, Terrell Thomas, he's out for the year. Prince Akamura, the guy they drafted this year, he's going to be out for an extended period of time with the broken foot. So there are a lot of things going on in New York, and Eli Manning did not have a great season last year. Threw a lot of touchdowns, threw a lot of yards, but threw a lot of interceptions. Threw a lot of interceptions last season. A lot. Too many. 25 interceptions, to be exact. That's too many. And you can't expect to win football games throwing 25 interceptions. No way. But Eli tells me and tells the world that, guess what? He needs to be talked about the same way we talk about a Brady, the same way we talk about a Manning. He is an upper echelon quarterback. 31 touchdowns, that's upper echelon quarterback material. 4,000 yards passing, that's upper echelon quarterback material. 25 interceptions, that is not upper echelon quarterback material. And I think Eli and the Giants will struggle. And I think Eli and the New York Giants will take a step back this season. 10-6, you might want to switch that around and say 6-10 for the New York Giants. They will not be the same team they were last year. They will struggle. And if you look at the Giants, they were they were up 31-10 against the Philadelphia Eagles in the fourth quarter. If they win that football game, a game they should have won, they probably would have won the NFC East. So they were up 31-10. So they were 7 minutes away, essentially, from winning the NFC East. So that was a very good football team last year, and a team that should have won the NFC. If you look at it, they should have won that football game. They should have won that football game. They should have won that football game against the Philadelphia Eagles. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, 31-10, 7 minutes left, you can't lose. But they did. So I think they will take a step up. Step down, excuse me. Dallas Cowboys, I think, a team that will be better this year with Jason Garrett there. The whole time, the full year. I think they'll be better. Tony Romo is back. They do have some question marks on the offensive line. They do have some question marks there. You can't discount that. But I think Dez Bryant, a guy who's shown a lot of ability, a lot of talent, and a guy that I think if he can stay healthy is going to produce a lot this season. I think Miles Austin, of course, will do his thing. And Felix Jones, a guy that he's going to be the starter. Marion Barber is gone. Felix Jones is the starter. He's going to be the guy. And if he can stay healthy, he's a home run hitting type of running back. If he can stay healthy, that's going to be good for the Dallas Cowboys. And I look at them defensively. I have some questions there in terms of the secondary. There definitely is some questions there in terms of the secondary. They signed Scandrick, Orlando Scandrick, to a big deal. Will he live up to it? Will he live up to that big deal that he signed with the Dallas Cowboys? Question. That is a big-time question mark there. That is a big-time question mark because he's a guy that they believe in, obviously. They believe in him. They definitely believe in him. They believe in the guy. But you look at it, and you say, there's some question marks there. And Terrence Newman, he's been often injured. We'll see what happens with him. But you look at it, you look at the whole situation with the Cowboys, I think they will be an improved team. DeMarcus Ware, I like him up front with Ratliff and Ware. I like him a lot up front. You look at him, but I have some questions with that secondary. But all in all, I think the Dallas Cowboys will be a team that will be a lot better, and I think the Dallas Cowboys will make the playoffs as a wild card team in the NFC. I like the Dallas Cowboys to get into the playoffs this season. And I really do. I think they're going to be better, especially with Jason Garrett, Tony Romo back and healthy. And I think he's got a lot to prove. A lot of people are questioning him. And I think the Redskins will be a little better than what people may think. I know Mike Lombardi picked the Redskins actually to win the NFC East. He cited their schedule. Their schedule is very favorable. So he believes that believes there's a lot of things there, and the Redskins I think are improved. I think, but I don't think they'll win the division, obviously. But I think they are improved. Rex Grossman is their starter, so you got some questions there, obviously. But Mike Shanahan is their coach, and Mike Shanahan is a winning coach. He is a winning type of coach. But if you look at the schedule for the Washington Redskins, they do play the Carolina Panthers, a team that will struggle. The Buffalo Bills, a team that may struggle. The Miami Dolphins, a team that may struggle. Seattle, a team that may struggle. Minnesota, even, a team that could struggle this year. But they do play the AFC East with the Jets and the Patriots. So you got to play the Jets and the Patriots. That's not a winning proposition there. It's a favorable schedule, but I don't think they'll be able to win. I don't see it. I don't see them winning them. I don't see them winning the division. Obviously, I don't see that happening at all. I don't see that. I mean, and Mike Lombardi saying, he said it wrote it with a straight face, I believe, and he's saying that he's not doing this just for publicity or anything. He really believes it. He really believes that they will win. The NFC East, and this is a team that won 6 games last season. He believes they'll improve. I think they'll improve, but I think they'll improve to the 8-8. But obviously that won't be enough to win the NFC East. And I think, again, Philadelphia Eagles will win the NFC East. And I think the Philadelphia Eagles will have the best record in the NFC, period, point blank. And I look at the NFC North now. I look at it. Green Bay Packers, we know what we saw there on Thursday. That's still a formidable team there. It might be even a better team. So Green Bay, they're going to win that division. But I think Chicago Bears, they will be there. Chicago Bears definitely will be there with Cutler, bringing back Cutler. They still have that defense. They bring in a Roy Williams who may help them a lot this season. I think, and looking at the Chicago Bears, I think this is going to be a very good ball club again this year, and I think they're going to be the wild card team, the second wild card team in the NFC. Obviously, I like Green Bay to win the division. Detroit, they're going to be improved, but I don't know how much they're going to be improved. There's still some questions in terms of their quarterback situation. I mean, Matthew Stafford has shown ability, but again, like I told Willie Rofe, he has shown the ability to get hurt. The running back is a little questionable there with Javid Best and Harrison there and Morris. So you got some questions there. I'm not really too sure about the Detroit Lions. I'm not in love with the Detroit Lions, but I am in love with the Green Bay Packers. I am somewhat in love with the Chicago Bears, and I think those two teams will be the tops of that division. Minnesota bringing in Donovan McNabb. I love Donovan McNabb, but I don't know how much he has left in the tank in Minnesota. So I got some questions there, And I think, you know, the offensive line may struggle. Bryant McKenney is no longer there. They're going to miss Sidney Rice, I believe. I think he's going to be big. I think they missed him big time last season when he was hurt. So I think they're going to miss him again this season. He's no longer there. And we'll see what they are defensively. They were horrible defensively last year. Maybe they'll regain that defensive form that they had two seasons ago when they made it to the NFC Championship game. We shall see. But I like the Green Bay Packers to win that division. I like the Green Bay Packers to have the second-best record in the NFC. The second hour of Go For It starts right now. Welcome back. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by New York Knicks guard Tony Douglas. And also, we're also going to be joined by one of the stars of Basketball Wives LA, Miss Tanya Williams. She's going to stop on by. So we got a big second hour coming up for you here on Go For It, and it should be a great, great second hour. And we want to thank Jarius Wynn and Willie Rofe, who joined us in that first hour. And Willie Rofe has the New York Jets there getting over the top and finally winning and getting to the Super Bowl. Not sure I agree, but we shall see.
Okay. Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pixurica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thank you, sir.
You got it, brother. Have a go, man.
Tony Douglas will be joining us very shortly. And, again, we're looking forward to talking to Tony and seeing how his offseason is going, seeing how that shoulder is. And we're going to bring him in now. We're now being joined by New York Knicks guard Tony Douglas. Tony, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good.
I'm doing good, and I'm doing good, too. And I'm glad to have you on, Tony. I look at you, man. You, this offseason in May, you had surgery on your right shoulder, torn labrum there. How's the shoulder at this point?
The shoulder's feeling good. I do rehab almost twice a day. You know, it was a long process, but right now, actually, I just got through lifting weights, just get my shoulder back stronger. And, you know, I'm shooting now, doing a lot of conditioning, and just getting ready for the season.
And percentage-wise, where would you say your shoulder is?
Percentage-wise, I'd say about 80-85% right now.
Okay, okay. And if the season would start on time, do you think you would be ready by training camp?
Oh, most definitely. I'll be ready. You know, okay. That's one reason why I'm doing 2-a-days, just to get right, just in case the season starts on time.
And did you know when the injury occurred, or do you know when it happened, or was it a thing that just over time?
It's actually happened since like October, November in the season of last year. But, you know, I just fought through it, and I was rehabbing a little bit during the season, you know, and I heard it worse during the playoffs.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So I just fought through it throughout the whole season, and, you know, I gave it my all, and I know my team needed me, so I just made sure I was able to play throughout the whole season. And right at the playoffs, I knew that I needed to get surgery on it so I could be ready for this upcoming season.
And how much did that shoulder really bother you in the playoffs? How much did it really affect your game?
It affected my game a lot. I remember after game three that I didn't even practice before the game. I just got treatment on it. I couldn't even really lift my arm up. So, and, you know, it was my first playoff in my career, and, I didn't want to miss it for the world. So I just tried to do everything I was able to do. out there, and, you know, my coaches and my teammates knew I was in pain, so they have a lot of respect for me for fighting through it throughout the whole season, and, you know, also just helping the team, whatever I need to do to help the team win.
And, Tony, you talked about it. You did get your first taste of playoff basketball with the Knicks. You started three games. I mean, how different is the NBA playoffs in comparison to the regular season? Is it night and day?
It's totally different. Everything's so intense. When we was getting ready for the playoffs, I know that, you know, I got the changes in the coaches, the team, the players, you know, every practice, like, everybody, like, don't take nothing personal. The teammates was yelling, make sure we got to get everything right, because one mistake can cost you a game. And as you can see during the playoffs, like, the first two series of the game, first two games went down to the wire. And, you know, one little mistake could cost you.
And those games could have went either way. I mean, conceivably, the Knicks could have been up 2-0 going back to the Garden in that series.
Seriously, yeah. And, you know, after the game, you know, everybody look at it as a team, but as an individual player, you always want to look at, dang, what could I have done better to maybe not cause for us to lose and stuff like that. And you learn from it. You watch film. I know I'm still watching film now, even though it's off season, just to become a complete basketball player and on the mental side.
We're talking to Tony Douglas, guard for the New York Knicks. And, Tony, you play with two dominant stars and Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire. I mean, how great is it to play with these two guys?
Oh, it's a blessing to play with those guys. You know, they're all-stars. And the one thing that I love about them, they're both leaders on the team. You know, Amari, when he came in before we had Carmelo Anthony, he led us, being a vocal leader out there on and off the court. And when Carmelo Anthony came, he made sure that he came in to be a vocal leader. And, you know, one thing that I love about them, they trust their teammates. You know, knowing that they're going to face a lot of double teams. And Carmelo Anthony and Amari always told me when I get out there, stay with confidence. And no matter what, you know, you play hard 100%. And, you know, I respect them for that. And, you know, making sure that their teammates have confidence on the floor.
And you look at it playing with those two guys, you talked about the double teams. You got to be ready at any point to catch the ball and shoot it. You're going to get some good looks. I mean, that's got to be a great thing as well.
Oh, most definitely, you know, because as long as we keep the floor spaced out and they know nobody in the league can call, nobody, I don't think, in the NBA can guard Amari or Carmelo one-on-one. So they have to double team. So in the gym, you have to work on your game to make sure that you hit open shots. And, you know, in Mike D'Antoni's system, we like to run and gun and keep the floor spread and shoot the ball. So if you want playing time, you got to knock down shots.
And how fun is Mike D'Antoni's system? I mean, you guys, like you said, up and down type of basketball, is a lot of shots available. How fun is it to play in D'Antoni's system?
It's great. I love it, you know. And the thing about Coach D'Antoni that I love about that he's a player coach, he always asks us what do we think, how do we feel about things and stuff like that. He's not one of them coaches that say, this is what we're going to do. He always asks us, and, you know, and because we're the one playing on the court. And, you know, I just love him. Like, he's a player coach. If you have a problem with anything, you're able to go in and talk to him about anything and stuff like that. And especially during the trade, he made sure that everybody had confidence. He made sure everybody know their role on the floor. And, you know, and we started playing together. And, you know, it was a great experience that we got to the playoffs because that was our goal. And now we make sure that we look for better things to go even further in the playoffs.
And was it a tough adjustment kind of bringing Melo in there mid-season like that? I mean, was that a tough adjustment for you guys?
It was a little bit, you know, because, like, you know, we, you know, especially like me, you know, I probably ran through a lot of teammates too since my rookie year. I'm the only one that's actually there. you know, knowing that I had other teammates who I was playing with that I know, and then coming in with Carmelo, I had to figure out, okay, what he likes to do and how can I adjust to play with him, and I adjusted real well. I think from my standpoint, it really helped me a lot that I adjusted quickly, you know, because he's one of the main guys on our team that's a star and that's going to face a lot of double teams, so I had to learn how to play with him. And I adjusted to that real well.
We're talking to Tony Douglas, guard for the New York Knicks. And Tony, we talked about Melo. He came in midseason. Hopefully this lockout will get settled soon. But are you excited for the possibility of getting a full training camp with Melo and kind of bringing that all together now and getting that full training camp to prepare?
Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to it. I hope this lockout ends pretty soon and that we're able to all, our whole team, to have a full training camp so I could see, like, the leader that Melo was being when he came here, you know, starting in the beginning of the season, him and Amari. So hopefully that we'll get things done and we have to play it by ear and see what's going on.
And you look at it, Tony, one thing, you're known for scoring the ball in bunches. I mean, when you get into that zone, man, what's going through your head?
Well, me, I'm the type of player that, you know, I'm always a confident guy, no matter what. I can miss 10 in a row. I'm going to shoot the next one like I made 10, you know, because I know I put the time in the gym. I stay in the gym. I work on my game. You're going to have off nights some nights, and if you're not shooting the ball well, you got to find other things to do to help the team win, like play defense, get the flashes on the floor, get assists, you know, the little things, dive on the floor for loose balls. It's always a way to contribute to help the team win besides just scoring the ball, and that's one way that I, as a player, that I can help the team do.
You talked about mentally you have to get better. What else does Tony Douglas have to do to take that game to the next, to take his game to the next level?
I'm studying film. I'm doing a lot more studying film on the players who I play against, their tendencies and stuff, night in, night out, staying consistent. You know, that's the main thing I'm doing, being more explosive, stronger, staying in the weight room, make sure my conditioning level is up, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, it's 82 games in the season. You got to eat right, train your body right. So I'm making sure this for my third year coming up that I have all those things.
And, Tony, in football season is here. Your brother, wide receiver Harry Douglas, plays for the Atlanta Falcons. First off, growing up, man, was there a little sibling rivalry between you two?
Honestly, tell you the truth, there really wasn't. We always played together and we always helped one another. Even though, like, honestly, we always competed because we're brothers. You know, we played one-on-one in basketball, and my brother used to always beat me because he's my older brother, you know. But we always help each other out in a way. Like, we always played together through high school, and once went to college at Louisville and I went to Florida State, you know, we always stayed in contact and talked. And I just got through talking on the phone with him right now. They're on the way to Chicago. They play tomorrow against the Bears, and I'm going to watch every game. You know, I'm going to go watch every game. I'm intense with the football, with the NFL football, because my brother played, and I always tell him, like, dang, this team lost, so y'all got to win this game so y'all can do this. So I'm looking forward to it.
And you and Harry, you're only the sixth brothers, group of brothers, to play in the NBA and the NFL, and that's a big thing. It's safe to say, man, there's some good genes there in that Douglas family.
Yeah, it's a blessing, you know, that, like, you know, one thing that, you know, growing up that our parents always told us, especially my father, that we can do whatever we want to do. We could be wherever we want to be. I knew that I always wanted to play in the NBA, and my dad made sure that whatever we need to do to get the national exposure and going to college, and, you know, the first is the national exposure, getting a scholarship. The second thing is, all right, I have a free education. Stay in my books, get a free education, but, you know, anything can happen once you get to college. And you know, and my work ethic then went up tremendously since I got to college. And now in the NBA, you know, you got to prove yourself. You can't get complacent because you're in the NBA. Because right, just like I got drafted, it's easy for you to be out of the NBA. So I got to stay on top of my game because it's a business.
That's true. And you and Harry are doing some great things in the community. You guys have a foundation, Douglas Brothers Foundation. Talk about that.
Oh yeah, it's real good. We just had a back to school drive foundation at Jonesboro Baptist Church. Well, we're giving out school supplies for people that can't afford them, like haircuts, clothes, pencils and stuff for the children who need school supplies. And this upcoming December, we're having a Christmas holiday treat that we give out a lot of stuff for the kids who are in need who doesn't get the Christmas presents that a lot of kids, other kids do get and it's amazing that. And sometime soon, I'm gonna be expanding it in New York, because you know I'm out here in New York, and I would like to do some stuff out here in New York to get that going. But
right.
we try to help people who's in need, and we have in our foundation we have a lot of life skill stuff to do that, you know, tutoring sessions that we have a complex at the foundation where people who can't afford tutors get tutors. They could come to our foundation and get tutored in any subjects and stuff. So we're looking to expand, and it's going real well right now.
And Tony, where can we find information about that foundation?
At douglasbrothers.org.
Okay.
www.douglasbrothers.org.
And make sure you guys go to that website. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the website to go, and it's all the links to everything, and they can see more information on the website and the foundation.
And Tony, real quickly on the show, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I'll give you two topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Better football player, Harry Douglas or Tony Douglas?
Harry Douglas.
Better basketball player, Tony Douglas or Harry Douglas?
Oh, Tony Douglas, on the way.
Better athlete, Harry Douglas or Tony Douglas?
I have to say Harry Douglas on that one.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a very athlete. He can jump and run.
Better looking, Tony Douglas or Harry Douglas?
Tony Douglas. Tony Douglas, of course.
Tony, thanks for playing the game, man, and thanks for stopping by. We greatly appreciate it. Again, make sure you go to his website, DouglasBrothersFoundation.org, correct?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, make sure you go there, support his website. He's doing some great things in the community. Tony, nothing but the best of luck to you in the future, man. Get healthy, get that shoulder right, and have a big 2011 season. Appreciate
All
it.
Right.
Let's do it again.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tony Douglas, guard, New York Knicks. It was a pleasure talking to him. He's doing some great things in the community. He's trying to get his shoulder right for the upcoming NBA season, excuse me. And I'm looking forward to that NBA season, man. And hopefully, it does not get canceled. Hopefully, they'll work it out, work through this lockout, and get that whole thing right. I forgot to ask Tony who he was going to pick for the Super Bowl this season. I'm assuming it's going to be the Atlanta Falcons, but I didn't get his prediction. But I'm assuming it's going to be the Atlanta Falcons. I'm assuming that's what he would pick, being that his brother plays for the Atlanta Falcons. Good luck to Tony Douglas in the 2011 season. And I want to go back now to the NFL, which is starting now in the next started already in full slate of games on tomorrow, Sunday, September 11th, which is always a tough day for a lot of people, and hopefully NFL and football would be a good thing to kind of get away from the sadness that comes with September 11th and that anniversary. This is the 10-year anniversary, but hopefully football will be a great diversion for a lot of people. And I want to look at the NFC South and the Atlanta Falcons, and they're the team that a lot of people are talking about, and a lot of people believe that the Atlanta Falcons will win the Super Bowl, get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. I know Peter King had them going to the Super Bowl. So a lot of people believe in this Atlanta Falcon ball club. I mean, you look at this team. I mean, they were a team last season that, again, the best record in the NFC. They got a lot going for them. They definitely have a lot going for them. They have a franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan, one of the better quarterbacks in the game. They have a very good running back in Michael Turner. They upgraded the wide receiver position, Julio Jones, to go with Roddy White. Then you have Harry Douglas, a guy that a lot of people believe is going to come on this year. You also couple that with Tony Gonzalez. And this is a team that a lot of people believe will take that next step, and that next step for them is the Super Bowl. I mean, 13-3, had the best record in the NFC, and Green Bay went in there and beat them up and beat them bad, and they went up and down the field on that defense, and that's a defense that must improve. They definitely must improve, and you look at them, I mean, they bring in Ray Edwards, a guy who should provide pressure and should be a guy that can help out John Abraham. I mean, John Abraham, a sack artist for the Atlanta Falcons, and you look at it, Ray Edwards had 8 sacks last season for the Minnesota Vikings, and he should be able to hopefully contribute for the Atlanta Falcons, and that's an upgrade for them. And again, they have somebody to complement John Abraham. And you look at their secondary was struggling a little bit, but Bert Grimes is he's very talented. And you look at Dante Robinson on the other side, a guy who missed some time with that DeSean Jackson hit, and he missed some time from that injury. But are they improved? I think with Julio Jones there, they are improved. I think with Ray Edwards, they are improved. But I think teams around them are better. I think the teams around them, you look at the NFC South, that's a tough division. That's not going to be a cakewalk other than the Carolina Panthers, which should be 2 victories for the Falcons, Saints, and Buccaneers. The Panthers should not be any of those teams this year. But if you look at it, the Falcons are going to be good. The Saints will be good, and they will be there, and they will contend for the playoffs. I don't think they'll get there, but they will contend with Drew Brees. And you're looking at the Saints, and that defense was leaky, very leaky against the Green Bay Packers, and it just didn't look good. They didn't look good at all. And so it looks like they're going to have to outscore people this season, and they could do it. I mean, they have the team to do it. They have the offense to do it. They can do it. But they may have to do that this season. But Tampa Bay's going to be there. I mean, they are a team that is improved. But will they run into a situation where they have improved a little bit this year? But at the same time, other teams are around them are better. I mean, I look at this Tampa Bay team. I see a team definitely with a lot of ability. And Josh Freeman is a guy who is a big-time quarterback. But I do have my doubts with this ball club. I do have my doubts. I definitely have my doubts. But I look at their schedule. They start with the Lions, the Vikings next, and there's some opportunities here, especially they have the Colts on their schedule this year. They play the AFC South. They have the Colts on the schedule. So that's an opportunity there with Peyton Manning going now and won't be back. You look at that, that's an opportunity. The Texans, I think, will be good. They play the Texans. I think they're that's a team they may lose to this year. The Titans, I think, are going to be better. And they also have the Jaguars, who I think will take a step back. But, I mean, I look at their schedule, start with Detroit. They got Minnesota next, the Falcons 3rd week of the season, the Colts the 4th week of the season. They go to San Francisco, a game they can win. I look at their schedule, and it's a favorable schedule for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I don't know how much I believe in this ball club. And I just don't – I can't sit here and say that they're better than the Falcons, and I can't sit here and say that they're better than the New Orleans Saints. I can't say that. I won't say that. I don't think they are. So I think this is a team that's going to be a good team, but I don't think this will be a team that will make the playoffs this year. I really don't. And they brought in, again, Claiborne. They drafted him, and they brought him in. But I don't know. I don't think this team – I think they're the 3rd best team in their division. And if they were playing in a different division, maybe the NFC West, then maybe this is a playoff team. But since they play in the NFC South, and since they don't play in the NFC West, which would, if they did, would be a good situation for them, I don't think this team will make the playoffs this year. And I think you're talking around, they're an 8-8 type of ball club. But I have the Falcons winning that division, the Saints coming in 2nd, Buccaneers in 3rd, and the Carolina Panthers last. I want to move to the AFC East now. And looking at the AFC East, the New England Patriots, they did a lot this offseason. Ocho Cinco, Albert Haynesworth, Brian Waters, they did a lot. They did a lot this offseason to improve that ball club. Their defense was a young defense, but their defense is a year older, hopefully a year better if you're a New England Patriots fan. But I think this is a team that's going to be all right. And I think this is going to be a team that was just as good as they were last season. They're going to win that division. The New York Jets, I believe, will come in 2nd. And, again, the Jets are a team that a lot of talent as well. I just don't believe in their quarterback. I don't think their quarterback is a championship-caliber quarterback. And so I look at the Jets, and, you know, you look at that ball club, and you bring in a Plaxico Burress, who's shown a lot in this preseason, and he's improved. And he's an improvement. But I don't know how much of an improvement he is over Braylon Edwards. I think it's a slight improvement, but I don't know how much of an improvement that is. But you have San Antonio Holmes sign that big deal. for that ball club. You also have Derek Mason that you bring in, replacing the Jericho Cotri. I mean, so the defense, I mean, offense, excuse me, there's some weapons there. And the defense is going to be the defense in New York. Cromartie's back. Revis is back, of course. And they bring in a Muhammad Wilkerson. And if hopefully they can, he can replace a Sean Ellis, a guy they could miss in this season. But I look at this Jets team, and I see a team that, to me, is a wild card team again this time around. But I don't think they are a better team than the New England Patriots. I don't see them taking that next step, and I know a lot of people do. Willie Rofe does see this Jets team taking that next step. But I have the Patriots winning that division, the Jets coming in second, getting a wild card. And then I have the Dolphins. No, I have the Bills over the Dolphins. I think the Bills will be all right this year. And I think the Bills may surprise some people. And I have the Dolphins coming in last, going to the AFC West. I look at the AFC West and I say the San Diego Chargers, and that's their division to lose. They're the most talented team in that division. You look at it last year, you were trying to figure out why they struggled. Well, one of the reasons is Vincent Jackson was there for a while, and he's a guy that they missed, and he's going to be there for the whole season. You know, you were dealing with that contract issue with him for a while, but he's going to be there for the whole season. Phillip Rivers, one of the top five quarterbacks in this game. And, you know, he's going to be back in the mix for the San Diego Chargers. They are the best team in that division. It is their division to lose. Oakland, I think, will be around 8-8 like they were last year. Kansas City will take a step back. And Denver, I think also they're going to be a team that struggles as well. But I like the San Diego Chargers to win that division. And then I look at the AFC North, and the AFC North to me is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I really like that offense. That offense is explosive. That's an explosive offense. Hines Ward, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders. There are a lot of playmakers. And Big Ben Roethlisberger will be there for the whole season, barring injury, but he will be there the whole season. I like this team a lot. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers a lot. I like what I saw in the preseason. I usually don't get too excited over preseason football, but I like what I saw. Some questions there with that offensive line. But if that offensive line is okay, this team will be all right. And the defense speaks for itself. They should be okay defensively. And I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think they're going to be the class of the AFC. And I have them winning this division, obviously. And I have them having the number one record in the AFC. They're going to have the best record in the AFC next season. They really will. The Ravens, they're going to be there as well. But I don't think the Baltimore Ravens will be a team that will win the Super Bowl, obviously, but I think the Baltimore Ravens will be a team that will get the wild card. They'll win about 10 ball games this year. But I don't think this is a team that will surpass the Steelers. I think the Steelers are still the better football team. I really do. I think quarterback position, I think, is big. I'm not a big-time believer in Joe Flacco. Not a big believer in him, but he does have talent, does have ability, but I don't love him. I don't love them. I think that defense carries this ball club, and the defense right now is, I don't think it's the same type of defense we've seen. There's some question marks there in that secondary. I just think the Baltimore Ravens will be a team that is a 10-win ball club, but nothing more, nothing less. I don't see them getting to the Super Bowl. I see the Pittsburgh Steelers winning that division. I see the Baltimore Ravens, though, getting that wild card spot, and they will get the second wild card spot, and the Jets we'll get the first wild card spot. And I look at, lastly, now the AFC South and Colts without Peyton Manning. Immediately, you say they're out of this discussion. The Jaguars, middle of the road ball club, quarterback position still questionable. A lot more questionable, I think, with Luke McCown as the quarterback instead of David Garrard, who was released this week. But I look at it, and I think it's time for the Houston Texans to take that leap. It's time for them to take that leap, and I think with Peyton Manning being hurt, I think they can take that leap. And bringing in a Wade Phillips, a guy who's a big-time defensive coordinator. Wade Phillips is a great defensive coordinator. You look at the Houston Texans, they could score the football. They could score a lot, but they couldn't stop anybody. Now you bring in a defense with Wade Phillips, a guy who should help this defense a lot. You bring in a Jonathan Joseph, who's a good corner from the Cincinnati Bengals. You still have Mario Williams, a guy who can rush the passer. You bring in J.J. Watt out of Wisconsin, expecting big things from him. You got Cushing there as well. I like this team. I like this team. And I think this team, the Houston Texans, will win the AFC South, and I think it helps a whole lot that Peyton Manning will miss most of the season, if not all the season. But I don't want to – a team that I kind of got my eye on this division is the Tennessee Titans. I love what they did with Hasselbeck, bringing him in. That's an upgrade, I believe. That's an upgrade. You upgraded to quarterback spot. You still have Chris Johnson, a big-time running back. So now you have Hasselbeck with a running game with Chris Johnson. That's going to help a lot. That's going to help a lot. So I look at this team defensively. They're not bad defensively. And I look at them and I say, this team could win this division. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. But I would not be surprised if the Tennessee Titans win this division. I would not be surprised at all. I wouldn't be surprised at all. They have a favorable schedule. They have a favorable schedule. You look at the Colts now, they're out of the mix, but this team plays the Bengals. They play the Browns. Some people say the Browns will be better, but they play the Panthers, a team that's going to struggle. Buffalo, a team that many think will struggle. I mean, they have a favorable schedule. They got Denver, a team that I'm not too high on. So this team, with their schedule, Jacksonville also is a help, but, you know, the Texans play Jacksonville twice as well. But with this schedule that they have, which is favorable, this team could win this division. This team could win this division. I'm not saying they will, but I'm saying they could. But I like the Houston Texans. I like Wade Phillips. I like Matt Schaub, Andre Johnson, Arian Foster, and those boys to get it done. And I like the Houston Texans to win the AFC South. So I have the New England Patriots winning the East, the San Diego Chargers winning the West, the Pittsburgh Steelers winning the North, and the Houston Texans winning the South. NFC, have the Falcons winning the NFC South, have the Packers winning the NFC North, have the St. Louis Rams winning the NFC West, and have the Philadelphia Eagles winning the NFC East. And I believe the Eagles will have the best record in the NFC. Packers will be next, followed by the Falcons and the St. Louis Rams. The two wild cards will be the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears. And out in the AFC, the two wild cards will be the New York Jets and the Baltimore Ravens. And when it's all said and done, the team that I like to win it all and get to the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be a Pennsylvania Super Bowl, and I'll leave it at that. It's going to be an all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl. And then being I'm a Pennsylvania resident and being that I'm from Pennsylvania, that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing now. Let's bring in now one of the stars of Basketball Wives LA, Miss Tanya Williams. Tanya, how are you?
I'm well, and it's Tanya Young Williams. No one wants to give me my young, but I need to keep that. It's Tanya Young
okay,
Williams.
Okay, Tanya Young
fantastic.
Williams. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And Tanya, I look at it basketball-wise and just watch you on the show. You seem to be above the drama. First few seasons of Basketball-wise, a lot of drama. What made you do Basketball-wise L.A.?
Well, you know, I don't know if I'm above the drama. I think I'm a bit different. I have enough drama going on in my life organically.
Right. I think we lost Tanya. Hopefully she can call right back in. We lost her. But, you know, you look at Basketball-wise L.A. and Tanya, I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like it would be her type of show. It just doesn't seem like it would be her type of show. She's back now. Let's bring her back in.
Yeah, I'm here.
Tanya, we lost you there.
It's a crazy world of phones. But to answer your question, I signed on really because I wanted to give the audience a view of what a real NBA wife's life entails. You know, when you're married to a player or whatever the situation is, your life is busy outside of just supporting that person. But usually you have a business and you're raising children, and yeah, it's fun and it's fabulous. And I wanted to really give the audience a perspective of what it really is like. You know, you don't run around as a mature woman and argue and fight and throw waters. That's not real life in our world. So hopefully, you know, if the producers decide to continue to have a balanced show, you'll get to see how I live and what my friends do. And, of course, they're going to feed into the drama, which, you know, almost 2 million people a week want to see.
And very, very true. Did you know any of these girls before signing up for this show?
Well, you know, I've met a couple in passing, and Jackie Christie. You know, the world is small once you've been in the league for a long time. So some of us have had husbands in the league, you know, for 10 years or more. And then some of the younger ladies I didn't know. But my goal was hopefully to get to know them. You know, I learned when I was, you know, young, and I learned from Cookie Irving. I mean, she talked to me about what it's like being the wife of, and Turquoise Ewing. So hopefully I was going to step in and share some of the insight I got from these amazing women about what goes on and what you should expect. So that was pretty much my role coming in, and, you know, things got a bit out of hand, you know, very, very embarrassing and disappointing turn of events. But, you know, we'll see where the show goes from here.
And let's talk about that. We had the fight last week, Malaysia and Laura, and you were criticized for not breaking the fight up. To be honest with you, if I was you, I would not have broken up the fight either. But how do you respond to such criticism?
Well, you know what? To be very honest, the only people who really criticized me were the women on the show. My outpouring of support and people who stopped me on the street and hit me on my Twitter, which is I'm Tanya Williams, they say, Tanya, I'm glad you didn't do it. I would not have done it. Tanya, women don't act that way. So I guess the haters are actually coming from the women who are in the show. And being very honest, I haven't even watched episode 2. You know, my life is full.
Okay.
I'm busy. I haven't watched it yet. I will watch it this weekend. So when people come and say, why did they say that? You know, I think they were caught up in the show and caught up in the moment and possibly embarrassed by their actions. But I have been supported in ways you would not believe by women who are 75 years old coming to me in church. First of all, I'm thinking, what are you watching the show for? But they're coming to me in church and saying, you know what, you represent well. And young ladies on the street coming up to me saying, I wouldn't have gotten involved either. So the reality is I have far more support in my decision than I do have people who are hating on it.
And Tanya, in watching the show, how do you feel you've been depicted so far? It almost seems like they're kind of setting you up. You're almost like you're being portrayed as kind of like Bougie so far. I mean, is that the real Tanya Williams? Are we seeing the real Tanya Williams on this show?
If the worst thing they call me is Bougie, I'll take it. You know, don't call me a hoe. Don't call me loose. Don't call me stupid. Don't call me a liar. Don't call me those things. If the worst I can be called is bougie, you know what? I'll take that. Because I like the better things, because I put value on intelligence and the way you use the King's English, because I value my friendships and have a sense of loyalty, if that's bougie, then guess what? I'll take it. But at the end of the day, I am a woman. I'm an inspirational speaker. I love sports. I get dirty and play golf, and, you know, I'm a mother. So at the end of the day, I think I'm a complete normal person. But at the end of the day, maybe because I'm so different than some of the other women, the contrast is just very, very apparent.
We're talking to Tanya Young Williams, one of the stars of Basketball Wives LA. And right now, Tanya, currently you are married to Jason Williams, pending divorce, former NBA star Jason Williams. But how was it being married to Jason? I mean, he seemed like a fun-loving, nice guy on the surface,
yeah,
of course.
Absolutely. It's on the surface. It's also very – on a deep level, he is. You know, yes, we are been pending divorce for 2 years. I don't know where that's going. But right now, yes, I am married. And Jason's a good guy. But, you know, being caught up, he had demons. And when, you know, more alcohol gets involved and prescription drugs gets involved, you know, who you are tends to change. And so over time he changed. And I, because I'm the intimate person, got to see the changes and also reap the negative parts of the changes. But to the outside world, he was always very aware of letting people love him and him loving people back. So my goal and my prayer is that, you know, he's getting the help he needs where he is. My deepest desire is that he would come out and be a good father to my children. That's what's most important to me, us co-parenting our children in a way that's beneficial. I had an amazing father who was also a sports broadcaster. So I wanted my children to have that experience or better. And that's the biggest way I thought that I was betrayed or let down by Jason. Not the trial, not the other stuff, just that, you know what, I married you expecting you to be a great father. Now he's coming out, he's going to have a chance to do that, and that's what I expect him to do. He is a good guy, he just had demons, and he deserves a second chance just like everyone else.
And I heard other interviews with you, Tanya, you talked about sleeping with a knife under your pillow. Talk about that.
You know, as I said, is when someone is in a volatile situation psychologically, you don't know who they are. And so Jason did threaten me at times verbally, but then there were times there were altercations. So depending on how late he was out or how much alcohol he drank or if he took sleeping pills, I didn't know who was going to come into my house or who was going to be in my bedroom. And I had serious concerns. So I knew at the end of the day, protecting my children and saving my own life was paramount. So, yeah, I slept with a knife under my bed, and I just thank God I never had to use it, but I was fully prepared if it were necessary. And, in fact, one time he found the knife and looked at it, and he was shocked. And I think that was, you know, I think the light bulb went off on his head and was like, wow, something is wrong. I need to check myself. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and I was saying, so, you know, that was my situation, and it was harrowing, it was scary, and that's why I am a spokesperson for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. I lived in a volatile, violent situation, but at the end of the day, I really believe that Jason knew I would go to blows to save me and my children, and it would not be a good sight. So as bad as it was, it could have been worse, but hopefully, like I said, he's a changed man, and, you know, he's done his time, and that weight is off of him, and he can go back and be an amazing person, a contributor to a society. You know, what God puts you in, you no one can take out. And I think he put something in him that's very good. Hopefully the demons are gone.
And have you spoken to him since his time in jail?
No, I haven't spoken to him. And there's been very little correspondence with my children. And the reality is, once he went away, I found out worse things than I expected. And so in order to move on with my life and to practice what I wrote in my book, I had to drop his baggage and not actually do the prison time with him. You know, and that's why I haven't spoken to him. But we have mutual friends, and, you know, we're respectful for each other. And, you know, he's going to come out, and we're going to figure out what next steps are regarding our children. And, you know, I'm going to support his initiatives as long as they're healthy and productive and sincere.
And I got the sense with Jason, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, that things kind of went downhill after his sudden injury and then the sudden retirement there. Was that the case with him?
You know, not really, because you have to realize, Jason, after the injury and all of that, you know, I helped negotiate a deal and got him on NBC. So once again, all Jason really wanted was an audience. And so now, he got to be the comedian he wanted to be. He had a platform, an NBC, and he loved it, and it challenged him. It was something he'd never done before. So he was really in a good place. His life went downhill when the gun went off in our bedroom. And then, you know, it began to spiral out of control when I filed for divorce, because now, all of a sudden, for the first time, his image was being crumbled. The perfect guy Jason was being crumbled. And that's when things began to spiral. But at the end of the day, you know, like I've said over and over again, he is doing his time. Someone's life was lost, and there's a penalty for that. And he's just blessed that the penalty is 18 months and not 18 years.
And how difficult was that for you guys, going back and forth to court, dealing with all his legal problems? I mean, was that a tough situation for you?
Well, you know, yes, it was very tough. You know, because of my legal background, I was intimately involved with every decision that went on, more so than Jason, just because, you know, he wanted to detach. But that was my life, my children's life. And throughout the trial, I mean, from the beginning of the situation to trial day, I actually had two children because it took so long to actually get to trial. So it was tough because other than the 4-month trial, we had 2 years of getting ready for trial. So I had my first child, then my second child I had during the first trial. So it was stressful on us, not only because of what hung over our heads, but we were also beginning a family and trying to have somewhat of a normal existence in the midst of this, you know, thing hanging over our head, this sense of uncertainty. So, you know, all of it was really tough, but like I said, not as tough as the family who dealt with you know, their relative not being alive.
Right.
So you got to take it. You got to take it and be thankful that, you know, you're in a situation to do the fight.
We're talking to Tanya Young Williams, one of the stars of Basketball Wives LA. And Tanya, did you notice any of those signs early in the marriage of the drinking and the drug problem with Jason Williams?
Well, the thing is with Jason is that he's a smart man and a crafty man, and he knows who I am. You know, I don't fake who I am. I didn't become saved all of a sudden or live a certain life. So a lot of the parts that were out of control were never around me. We were blessed enough to have a home in Manhattan, a home in New Jersey, and I worked in New York so much. So he would take the time to be a man out of control when I was in New York. So oftentimes I didn't see this reckless behavior, and he was smart enough to keep it from me and respected me enough to keep it from me. So every time
right.
there was a situation that hit the newspaper or in the Post or this tragedy, I was never there. Because when he was with me, he was on his best behavior because I wouldn't settle for anything else. You know, we had a lot of fun. You know, one thing, we have a very charismatic relationship and fun relationship outside the chaos. So, you know, we could go out and do an event and be great and then come back to our house, put on shorts and play one-on-one, you know, or go to the golf course and hit golf balls and then get ready. So we spent time together as friends outside of just, you know, being in love. But he was right. always on his best behavior. And if he got a little out of the way when I was there, you know, I'm the wife. That's what we do. We reel him back in. But
right.
unfortunately, you know, when I wasn't there, these kind of things happened.
And you talked about him being a good guy. You talked about your friendship. You guys are not divorced yet. Hypothetically speaking, Jason Williams comes out of prison. He's a changed man. You notice the changes. Is there any chance that this marriage could be saved? Any chance?
You know, I don't. That's like reading tea leaves, and you know, I don't do that. I'm really focused on my career and my children, and I don't want to distract from that. My first goal for Jason in my life is to co-parent my children. That's my goal.
Right
now, I'm putting no focus on him being my husband again, or actively being my husband, or not. I just want him to right now come out and take on the role of being an amazing father, and we'll
right.
see from there.
And I got to admit, talking to you from a distance, it seems like this thing could possibly be saved. I mean, you got the friendship. If he's changed, you never know. You never know.
Is he sending you letters that I don't know about? What's going on here? You know what? Life is about living. I just really am spending time focusing on what is positive, what's good, really helping other people. Hopefully Basketball Wives will be a balanced show where people actually can
right.
see some of the altruistic endeavors women are doing. And I'm also always engaged. You know, celebrity golf tournament, I want to be there. I want to play when it's going to help another cause. Charity basketball games, call me up. I want to be engaged. If we can help other people raise money for a charity, that's what I want to do. And that's another reason Basketball Wives was important. It gave me a platform, not only for my inspirational speaking initiatives, but also to get involved with larger scale events related to sports where money can be raised and people can be helped.
And you talk about your inspirational speaking, and you have a book out now, a motivational book titled I'm Tired, Carry Your Own Ish. Oops, I mean back. Tell us about it.
Well, this book actually I began to write when I was considering going through divorce and figuring out what was necessary. And as I was going through the internal process, I realized a lot of my stress was about Jason and the stuff I was carrying, his issues and the court issues. And I was being weighed down. And I believe everyone was born with a purpose in their life. And I was off the path of my purpose because I was carrying his stuff. So this book actually gives you exercises to practice to help you remember, what did I like to do when I was young? What are my gifts and talents? But you go through 7 days of really pulling off the layers and dropping the bags of other people's lives to really get back and focus on your purpose in life. And, you know, I tell people all the time, day 3 and 4 is tough because you start to realize,
right.
wow, I've lost myself. By day 6 and 7, you're really encouraged because you're like, yeah, I remember, I'm good at this. This made me laugh. I love my children more. It's an amazing tool. But like I said, I've been studying, you know, wellness. I've been spiritual all of my life. So God really put it all together and helped me put it in this workbook. And people have been writing amazing testimonies to me about how it just opened their eyes. I'm not really giving you anything new. I'm just helping you find what's already inside of you.
And you also are a celebrity spokesperson for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Tell us how that came about.
Well, you know, about a year and a half ago, I began a tour called For All VIPs, Victims in Peril. But I promised the participants that they would leave as VIPs, Victim in Power. And it was a seminar for domestic violence victims. And the hotline found out about my initiatives, and they wanted to partner and also use the platform of domestic violence, use the platform of Basketball Wives to really help so many people in their audience. And they said, would you mind coming on? Because you really are a celebrity who believes in this. You just don't want to join us to have another notch in your belt. And I told them I would be honored. And at the end of the day, probably 50% of the audience from Basketball Wives, Miami and L.A., are victims or have been victims of domestic violence. And what we want to say is pick up the phone, call the hotline, figure out how you can get help. And at the end of the day, your charge is to help other people. If God puts you in the light, you got to shine it on something that's important. And the hotline is very, very important to me because it could be saving lives.
And you have the hotline. You have the book. You got Basketball Wives LA. And you got a perfume hitting the market. Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. Now, this is my baby. This is my, you know, this is my little fun thing that's only about being beautiful and having fun. It's called TRY, T-R-Y, which is an acronym for my name, Tanya Romaine Young Williams. And it's by a company called Firmenich. It's a worldwide fragrance company. And I've been producing it or creating it with one of their perfumers for over a year now. And it's exotic and it's sexy and it's long-lasting. And so we're marketing it to get it out before Christmas. The response has been bloody amazing. Because it smells good, it lasts long, but also everyone wears it a little differently. So I'm partnering with Firmenich, who helped me create this amazing scent. If you look them up, they've created everything for anybody, really big stars. So I was just lucky to get into the fold. But once again, a percentage of the proceeds will go back to help charities because everything is about giving back. To whom much is given, much is required. And so it's about giving back. So it's called Try by Firmenich. Pre-orders are being taken right now. But no one will be disappointed in the scent. It's amazing.
And where can we find information about all that you're doing right now?
Everything you want to find is on my website, which is www.tanyayoungwilliams.com. My Twitter, follow me on Twitter. That's where I really update what's going on in the world, in my world, in Basketball Wives world, and that's I am Tanya Williams. I'm Tanya Williams. Hit me up on Twitter. Now, one of the things I'm doing, which is going back into my legal world, is that I've taken on the role to cover the Dr. Conroy Murray Michael Jackson case. I will be there. I started a couple days ago. You can check out my blog. And I'm going to report on the trial because I've sat there. I know what it's like. I sat in the trial for 4 months. Casey Anthony was 2 months. This may be 6 weeks. I know what it's like to look in the juror's eyes. I can assess things differently than a normal journalist because they're just looking in black and white. Having been there, having done it, there's so much gray that allows you to give a different perspective than your normal journalist. So I will be there, but I'll also cover entertainment side of it. Who's there? What celebrities are there? What's LaToya wearing? What's Jermaine wearing? Who's doing what? So I'm actually going to cover it through my blog, but also as an on-air talent for certain networks, giving commentary, but I will be on Try Web TV on YouTube daily once the opening arguments, just really giving people an inside, easy-hear perspective of what's really going on in the trial. And that's something I've got both arms around. I'm really excited. It allows me to use both sides of my brain, legal and entertainment, and actually give something to our audience. I mean, I was there the other day, and all the CNNs and ABC and Fox was there, and being a woman of color, I was a bit put off that we didn't have any representation there. And these happen to be two men of color that this case is about. So, you know, I'm going there to represent, but not only feed to one audience or one demographic, but actually tell a story for all the media and give you insight from a perspective that no one else really can unless you sat in my seat and walked in my shoes.
Everybody, make sure you check out all the great things Tanya Young Williams is doing. She is on Basketball Wives LA, each and every Monday, 8 o'clock Eastern on VH1. Tanya, it was a pleasure talking to you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck moving forward, and we would love to talk to you again. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you. Good luck with your show. It's amazing.
Appreciate it. Tanya Young Williams, wife at this point of Jason Williams, former NBA star. And I look at that, and you know, she talked about the friendship and all, and who knows? I mean, Jason could come out. His mind could be right. All those demons that he's fighting could be at bay, and you never know. Doubt it, but you never know. got another 5 minutes left in the show right now, and guess what? I told you before we interviewed Tanya, I told you before that it's going to be an all Pennsylvania Super Bowl. It will be an all Pennsylvania Super Bowl in my mind. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be representing the western side of Pennsylvania, and the Philadelphia Eagles will be representing the eastern side of Pennsylvania. They will come together in Indy, Super Bowl Sunday. It will be the Steelers. It will be the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And the dream team will be a legitimate dream team. That is, the Philadelphia Eagles will win the Super Bowl and will be the champions of the 2011 NFL season. I just think it's their year. I like what they did off in the off season. Obviously, everybody has to love what they did on the off season. Obviously, you like what they did there. They did a lot there. They did a lot there, and I think it's enough. And Michael Vick, I think Michael Vick getting that big time money has a lot to prove. And I believe that a lot of times when guys have things to prove, they try to find a way to do it, especially the special ones. And Michael Vick played last year like a special one, at least earlier in the season. He struggled down the stretch there, but at least earlier in the season, he played very special. Now, this could go the other way. You never know what the situation, the offensive line. It's not that great on paper right now. It's in flux. So we don't know what we have there. But I think the Philadelphia Eagles have done enough, have brought in enough talent defensively and offensively for them to put this together. I think it's Andy Reid's time. It's been a long time coming. 5 NFC title games, 1 Super Bowl appearance. It's time to break through, and I think the Philadelphia Eagles will break through this season and win the Super Bowl. They will beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the Super Bowl. They will do it this time around. I believe the Philadelphia Eagles, they are the team that I'm picking to win the Super Bowl this season. The Philadelphia Eagles are the team to win this Super Bowl. And I had this pick a couple days ago, but when I saw the Green Bay Packers, I had to admit I was thinking about changing. I was thinking about changing, but I'm sticking to this. I'm sticking to this pick, and I believe the Philadelphia Eagles, no matter what I saw on Thursday night, no matter what I saw with Aaron Rodgers doing his thing, no matter what I saw with JerMichael Finley looking healthy and looking great, no matter what I saw with Ryan Grant looking great, no matter what I saw with that Green Bay Packers offense, no matter what I saw, and what I saw some great things. I think the Philadelphia Eagles, the dream team, if you will, Nnamdi, Rodgers, Cromartie, Colin Jenkins, Babin, Mike Vick, Jackson, Macklin, Selleck, McCoy, and the rest of the Philadelphia Eagles, I think it's their year. I think it's their time. I think it's their time. And the Michael Vick reclamation project will come full circle when he hoists that Lombardi trophy in the air and the Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl. I may be wrong, but as Charles Barkley says, I doubt it. I doubt it, even though I loved what I saw from the Green Bay Packers Thursday night. But one thing you have to realize about the NFL, as I said earlier in the show, it is a week-to-week type of league, and you never know exactly what a team is until truly the playoffs, I think. Yeah, or late into the season, not the playoffs, late into the season. You know kind of what a team is. But you never truly know. It takes a while to figure that out. But it is a week-to-week league, and I have the Philadelphia Eagles again winning the Super Bowl and beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. We want to thank the great Willie Rowe for stopping by. Appreciate Willie taking some time out for us. You will be hearing a lot of Willie this season. Hopefully you will enjoy Willie, because I do very much so. Also, we want to thank Jarius Wynn of the Green Bay Packers. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at SlickWynn94. Also, I want to thank Tony Douglas for stopping on by. Make sure you support his foundation, Douglas Brothers Foundation. Check it out. Go to the website, douglasbrothersfoundation.org. Check it out. He's doing some great things in the community. And last, I want to thank Miss Tanya Young-Williams, one of the stars of Basketball Wives LA. She has a book out. She has a perfume coming out. She's doing a lot of great things in the community. Support her and all the things that she's doing, and follow her on Twitter at I Am Tanya Williams. And you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgame, where you can listen to this great show and other great shows. For everybody here at Go For It, and make sure, again, that you follow this show on Twitter at Go For It Again. For everybody here at Go For It, we hope you have a great day. See you later. Bye.